remember, relativity and quantum are those two pillars which basically change the way we think about the universe and are still tools that we use today to do research at the cutting edge. Okay, so in terms of quantum, what we're going to do is we're not going to do an historical approach, okay, with, you know, starting with Planck and all that kind of stuff, which many of you may have seen a little bit. We're just going to focus on the concepts. Okay, and the concepts are probably best illustrated, or one of the best ways to illustrate the concepts is starting with some simple experiments, single slit and double slit experiments. How many of you have talked about single and double slit experiments and seen discussion? Okay, excellent. So we'll start with the single slit and we'll move on to the double slit. Okay, so this is a single slit experiment. So what we have is a source of particles. Which I'll draw just like this sort of thing. Okay, and so what this source is doing is it's emitting particles. Okay, basically in all these different directions. So particles are coming out. Those particles are of molecular or atomic or subatomic size. Okay, so subatomic particles might include, say, for example, electrons or protons or neutrons. So let's imagine we have electrons coming out of this source. And we can generate those electrons, for example, by just taking a piece of metal, heating it up, and there's a thing called thermionic emission. The electrons fly off, and then we can accelerate those particles with an electric field. And so these particles come flying out like this. Okay, we don't really care how it works. We've got particles in motion. Okay, and these particles come off with a certain momentum, P. How many of you have encountered the concept of momentum in your study of physics? How many have not? Okay, so all of you. Okay, great. So momentum is the same thing as mass times velocity. So if these are electrons coming out, then we take the mass of the electron times the velocity of the electron. That gives the magnitude of the momentum. Okay, so we got these particles, electrons, flying out here. And I should emphasize that it doesn't matter what kind of particle we're dealing with, whether it's electrons or protons or neutrons or atoms or molecules or whatever. As long as they're small, the results of this experiment are the same. Okay? Just depends upon them being small. Okay, so these particles come flying out, and they encounter a barrier here. This is a barrier with a slit in it. Okay, so particles that are flying off in this direction, they will hit the barrier and they will bounce off like this. In fact, that'll be most of them. Okay, they're just going to hit the barrier and bounce back. But some of them will pass through this slit and go onto the other side, and they will continue flying through space, and they will hit an observing screen here. Okay, so this screen is lined with detectors of the particles that we have. We're dealing with electrons. We line this screen with electron detectors. Okay, so when the electron hits the screen at some location, a detector will click and say, oh, the electron hit over there, or oh, the electron hit over there. Okay, so this is the screen upon which we are observing the electrons as they hit that surface. Okay, so so the first question I'll ask here is, given this setup, where on this screen are the electrons going to hit? If they start at this point over here and pass through this slit, where on the screen are they going to hit? Could they hit like way up here? No. Could they hit like right dead center? Okay. So they could hit dead center, and so that one could hit over here. How far can I go up here? On the same angle. Okay. So basically like this. This is sort of like the line of sight. So within this line of sight. Okay, so what we're going to see is maybe the first electron, say, hits over there, the next electron hits over there, the next electron hits over there, and so on. So they're going to hit the screen at random locations. Okay, first one, then the next, and so on. But they're only going to hit the screen within a certain range. Okay, and we'll label this the x-axis, and we'll put x equals 0 over there. So they'll range over some range, they'll hit over a certain range of the x-axis. Okay, and this region over here will be the shadow region. Okay, And so we will indicate that they hit only in this range over here and not in this range by drawing a curve like this, which is 0 here. So sort of this is the direction of number of hits is in this direction, say. The number of hits is 0 here, and then when it enters the, when it leaves the shadow region, it increases to some value, and then it decreases down to 0. So the fact that it's even here means that it's equally likely that any given electron will maybe hit there or there or there with equal probability. And so the electrons will basically fill up this part of the screen, and none of them will go over there. Yeah?
How long?
Well, it depends on the kind of particles you're dealing with, and it's small. Like we're dealing with electrons. This is of atomic dimensions. And we'll talk about a particular experiment. I'll show you the results of a particular
experiment.
Wouldn't
that mean that the uncertainty principle will rule and it really would go flying around?
That's right. So we're going to get to that. Okay. So right now what we're saying is it's certainly true that if the momentum of these particles is large, if these electrons are moving very fast, this is the pattern that we will see, and this is the pattern we expect to see. Okay, so this is for large momentum. Okay, but now something very curious happens. If we start cranking down the momentum, if we turn down the momentum of these particles, they come flying out slower and slower and slower. What we find is something very odd. We find that particles are no longer confined to this region. We can have particles hitting out here. Okay, and maybe a particle hits over here. So the situation kind of looks like this. Maybe the first particle hits, if we've turned down the momentum, the first particle might, say, hit over there, because that's expected. Second particle might hit over there, that's expected. But then every once in a while we'll have a particle hitting out there in the shadow region. Okay, another particle hitting over there, then the third particle over there, fourth particle over there. So you'll get particles hitting also in the shadow region. Okay, and so our curve for the sort of the pattern of hits here will look something like this. It'll be spread out. It'll look something like that. Okay, and so this by this curve I mean there's a high probability it'll hit in this region over here where the curve has a high value. But there's a low value, and a decreasing probability will hit the screen up here. But still some non-zero probability. Okay? And if we keep on increasing the momentum even more, decreasing momentum even more, so this is smaller. If we decrease the momentum even more, what we find is that these electrons can hit even further away from this normal region here. They can penetrate further into the shadow region. Maybe some of them now hit way up there or way down there. Okay, so this pattern of hits spreads out even more. Okay, and so it might look something like that. It's even broader like that. Okay, so this is very small. Okay. So those are, you can do this experiment, and these are the results. So let me just sort of summarize the important points about this experiment. There are two important points. The first is the concept of randomness has entered here. Okay? So it turns out that the electrons which are emitted here, even though we try to emit this, the electrons in the same sort of state all the time, it turns out that that we can't actually predict in advance where any given electron will hit the screen. Okay, so suppose the momentum of the electrons is such that we are dealing with this pattern of hits over here. Okay, then we can't tell in advance where any given electron will hit. All we can tell is it's more likely, it's more probable they'll hit in this region and less probable in this region. And so this curve here, this pattern of hits, is like a probability curve. Okay, and so that's in fact what we'll call it. So we'll call these types of curves P of X, a probability curve. Okay, so P of X is related to the probability that a given electron, that's a symbol for an electron, will hit at the position x on the screen. So we can't predict in advance exactly where it will hit. There's true randomness in the universe, a kind of randomness that is more fundamental than the randomness in rolling a die. Okay, and we'll talk a lot about that as we go along. But anyways, just at the outset here, this pattern of hits is a probability curve. It's a probability pattern associated with the randomness. Okay, the second main thing that we notice about these experimental results is that this pattern of hits, or this probability curve, this function of x, spreads out as we reduce the momentum. Okay, when the momentum is large, very fast-moving electrons, the probability curve looks like that. As we turn the momentum down, the probability curve spreads out more and more and more. Okay, so that's the second thing, is this spreading. Okay, so spreading as the momentum of the particles, electrons in our case, is reduced. Okay, so why? Why is that happening? How is it possible for an electron, which is a particle, to somehow hit the screen over there? I mean, how is it? I mean, it's floating through space like this, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, and you would expect it to just hit somewhere in this range here. How does it somehow bend its path and go up to there? Okay, so we're jumping ahead. So it has something to do with waves, yeah. So we can describe, it turns out that we will be able to describe this probability pattern by thinking about not particles going through, but waves going through. And we will get to that. Okay, so but the first thing we notice here is that something certainly odd is going on. Okay, and we might need to think a little bit differently about how to describe how small particles like electrons behave. Okay, so those are the two main points. So for the single slit experiment, let's now talk about the double slit experiment. Okay, so so it's a similar situation here. What we have is a source of particles, say electrons. These electrons are coming out with a momentum p, mass times velocity. Okay, and there's a barrier here. But instead of having just one slit, we're going to have two slits in this barrier. Okay, so it'll look like this. And then we have an observing screen over here. Now, let's suppose that temporarily, let's call these two slits number one and number two. Let's suppose that we temporarily close slit number two. Okay, so we block it off like that. What pattern of hits am I going to see on this screen here? Where is it going to be maximum? Where's the most likely point it's going that electrons are going to hit this this screen? From the line of sight. Okay, so basically, from the line of sight, we're going to have a probability pattern which is maximum here, most likely to hit around here. But we're going to imagine that the momentum is low enough so that there's a very broad spread in that pattern. Okay, so like a single slit over here, what we've done is when we crank the momentum very low, we get a very broad pattern of hits. So we're going to imagine that our momentum here is low enough so that we have a very broad pattern of hits. So here I have only one colored chalk. Okay, so the pattern might look something like this. So it's very broad like this. Very spread out. Okay? So that's with slit number two closed. And let's pick a certain point on the screen here. Let's make this a little bit more concrete. Okay, so this is x equals 0 over here. And we see that the maximum occurs at some positive value of x here. And let's just pick some point here, say this point over here. Say it's some distance d away from the center. And suppose that we fire, like, I don't know, 1,000 electrons, one at a time, one, then the next, and the next. One electron hits here, then here, and so on and so forth. And suppose that in a small region around D here, we have a certain number of electrons hit. So suppose that this corresponds to, I don't know, let's say 7 hits. Okay, so that means that when we send 1,000 electrons through here, 7 of them hit in this little region over here, located at D, centered on D. Okay. Now let's suppose now that instead of closing slit number 2, we close instead slit number 1. So it's a single slit experiment again. So the result is that electrons are most likely to hit the screen along the line of sight here. So our probability pattern is going to be peaked here. But we'll assume that the momentum is large enough, or sorry, small enough, so that we have a large spread. Okay, so this guy goes like this. So it's symmetrical. This guy is the same as this guy, but just shifted over. Okay. All right. So now let's suppose then that with this only this second slit open, suppose that when we fire, say, 1,000 electrons through here, we find that maybe, say, 3 of them end up in this region over here, at the screen there. Okay. Okay. So that's that. Now, what happens if we were to open both slits? How many electrons, when we fire 1,000, how many electrons are going to hit in this region here? 10, right. So we'd expect, you know, 7 plus 3 is 10. Okay. And so what we're saying here is that when we open both slits, the pattern of hits that we expect to see is just this pattern. This is, let's call this pattern here P1, P1 of x. So that's the pattern of hits when just slit 1 is open. And let's call this guy here P2. So that's the pattern of hits when just slit 2 is open. Okay, so it's peaked around here and then drops off to either side. So what we're saying is that when we have both slits open, what we expect is that the pattern for both slits open should just be the sum. Okay, so what is that? So let's add this to this, so that looks like that. And then add this to this, that looks like that. So it looks something like this. So what we would expect with both slits open is that the pattern is sort of peaked around here, say, and then drops off to either side. It's the sum of those two. So are we happy with that? That's a reasonable expectation, right? Okay. So what we actually see is this, and I'll just sort of draw it to the side over here. I'll draw a new x-axis here, a new screen over here. And I'll show you what we actually see. So there's 0, and say there's that point D. What we see, what we expect to see is this guy over here. Okay, what we actually see is something completely different. Okay, it's not just a little bit, it's totally different. It looks like this. Okay, it looks like that. Okay, so it's totally different. And moreover, if we look at this point on the screen, the fact that this pattern of hits goes to 0 here, what that means is there's 0 probability that electrons will hit over here, and 0 probability they'll hit over here. In other words, when we're firing electrons toward this barrier with two slits open like this, what we find is electrons, the first electron might hit over there, the second electron might hit over there. It's totally random where they hit. The third one over there, the fourth one over there, fifth one over there, and so on. Okay, so they're going to be popping, they're going to be hitting the screen at these different locations randomly. And if we fire a whole bunch of electrons, a pattern starts to emerge. And the pattern looks like this, saying that lots of electrons will hit around here, or around here, or around here, or around here, wherever this curve is high. But very few electrons will hit around here, and 0 will hit there. Okay? This is completely bizarre, because if I have just, say, slit number one open, it's certainly possible for electrons to get from there through that slit to that point on the screen. Okay. If I have just slit number two open, it's certainly possible for electrons to get from the source to that point on the screen. But now, the experimental results tell me that if I open both slits, suddenly it's impossible for electrons to get to that point on the screen. Even if the electrons are being sent one at a time, we send one electron, click, okay, it passes through this apparatus, hits the screen somewhere. We wait 5 seconds, we send another electron, boom, send it through the apparatus, it hits the screen over there, and so on. And very slowly, over, say, an hour, a pattern builds up. But at any given time, there's only ever one electron in this apparatus. And somehow, with both slits open, the electrons somehow know to avoid these points. Isn't that odd? That is profoundly odd. Okay? So we're going to try to make sense of this. Okay, so but first I want to show you an actual experiment. So Sean, who is our AV guy, Sean, can we like lower the screen? Excellent. Thank you, Sean. Okay. So I want to show you this is an actual experiment done. This is actually a hard experiment to do with electrons. It seems like a simple experiment,
right? Now
we are
looking at the detector plane on the monitor.
Wait.
Bright spots appear here and there.
Stop.
These spots indicate individual electrons. Electrons are sent out only occasionally.
Okay. Here we go. Now let me just have to do this function F4 thing. Make sure this comes up. Okay. So it'll take a second. It's a little bit slow. So this is an actual experiment of this double slit type. And the technology involved here is quite tricky, because for electrons, it turns out that the distance between these slits needs to be of the order of just several atoms. So we had to, human beings had to evolve to the point where they could manipulate things at the level of atoms to be able to do this experiment. So this was done actually, I'm not sure when, but in the last like 10 or 15 years or something by the Hitachi Corporation. And why is it not coming up? Yeah, but it should. Okay, that looks worse. Okay, I'm just going to push play.
Okay. Now we are looking at the detector plane on the monitor. Bright spots appear here and there. These spots indicate individual electrons. Electrons are sent out only occasionally. Therefore, the chance of finding one electron in the microscope is very small, not to mention the chance of finding two.
Okay, so this screen over here, this is looking at this screen here, sort of face on. Okay, and so there are two slits that are vertical like this that the electrons can pass through, and the screen is over here. And we're seeing electrons hitting the screen at random locations. So you can see the randomness. The one is there, one is there, one is there. And you will see over time a pattern build up. Notice that there's only one electron in the apparatus at any given time. The electrons are not somehow, you know, interacting with each other or something. It's just a single electron.
Since electrons are detected one by one as particles, we have to conclude that each electron must have passed through at random on either side of the biprism, thus creating a uniform distribution without any interference when accumulated.
Okay, so the word biprism here, bi means two, and biprism is the technical term for that double slit there.
Under such condition, do electrons form a uniform distribution? But look, we begin to see some fringes in the perpendicular direction that looks like interference fringes. Since this experiment lasted for more than 30 minutes, I have sped the movie up. interference fringes are now clearly visible.
Okay, so where it's bright there, that indicates a high point here, and where it's dark, that indicates a low point here. So you see this pattern emerging, pattern of hits or probability pattern. Okay, so that's really freaky. How are we going to make sense of this? Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
That means that that always some points where many atoms hit, they are not all equal. I mean, the ones in the middle get more atoms than one in size.
Oh, so you're saying that here these are actually brighter than here. Oh yeah. So this pattern, I've not drawn it super carefully. Take this pattern and maybe, yeah, it does get a little bit lower.
And they also get wider too.
Lower. So I haven't drawn it super accurately. So the central one is biggest, and then as you move to the sides, as you move away from the center, the probability pattern is a little bit lower. And the spacing here might not be totally uniform. Okay, so I'm just trying to show you this representative. But the main point is there are points on the screen where the electrons don't hit. Okay, and that's what we need to try to make sense of. All right. So hello. Okay. Okay, so it turns out that a way to try to make sense headway with what's going on here is to compare these experiments that we do with particles with similar experiments except done with waves. So this is not a source of particles, we replace it with a source of waves. Okay, so let's have a look at that.